Good evening. Our scripture is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 4 this evening. 1 Timothy chapter 4. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I'm looking forward to the message that God has laid on Brother Larry's heart. I keep a poem in my Bible, and I probably shared it before, but I thought I'd share it tonight. I thought I used to have it memorized, but I better wouldn't take a chance. I'll read it. It's entitled, Another Year Has Passed. Another year has passed me by. The months, the days, the minutes fly. No extra time I rush through life with little care for others' strife. My own desires cloud my eyes, traveling work and family ties. Where's that hope that lay within? Former joy is wearing thin. Is my beacon true and bright? Am I valiant in the fight? Am I trusting in the Lord when raging rivers I must ford? Strengthen me to walk thy way. Grace, please give me to never stray. Through this year, help me to be consecrated, Lord, to thee. I think it's a good reminder. And we know that the years go by swiftly, and it's a good reminder to be faithful to God and to the church. Okay, let's read 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit and faith and purity. Do I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine? Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands, and of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Those that are able, let's come before the Lord in prayer.
Good evening, and welcome to worship. We greet you in the name of the one who has brought us together, our Lord Jesus Christ, tonight. Good to see each one of you here. The message title tonight is A Resolute Resolution. A high school teacher in Los Angeles area had a unique way of stimulating her students to think. From time to time, she would just write brief messages on the chalkboard that were completely unrelated to their current studies. One morning, she wrote the number 25,550 on the board, didn't say anything, and after a period of time, one pupil raised his hand and asked her what that particular number stood for. And I just ask, does anybody here tonight know what that number might stand for? 25,550. What's that again? No. It's a good try, though. It's the days that we would be allotted to live a 70-year life. The number of days in a person's life if they lived to be 70 years old. The teacher was simply trying to emphasize life's brevity and the value of each day. And as was already mentioned, how quickly time flies. You know, when we were young, we looked ahead, time seemed to go slow. It moved so slowly. It was, you know, we were in our early teens. 16 seemed to be a long way away, and we couldn't wait to be 16, and then it finally came, and then we wanted to grow older and find a life companion and so on. And it's hard to imagine at that point in life, hearing the older brethren say about how fast time goes. But, wow, doesn't take long till you're there and you wonder where it all went. And so Psalm 90:12 really comes to life for us. And it says there, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Each day is a special day that we've been given by God. And we need to live each day to His honor and to His glory. And we've certainly all heard of New Year's resolutions. Probably many of us have made some to have them fade away in the few days, weeks, or months after they're made. A study was given that it said only 27% of those that participated in the study in 2020, or only 27% of the participants surveyed made any type of resolution in 2020. Of those 27%, 50% of those participants said they resolved to exercise more. 49% said they resolved to save money. 43% also said they resolved to eat healthier. Anyway, the average respondents say that they only kept the resolution for a mere 36 days on average, a little over a month. Less than half of those, 46%, were successful in maintaining at least a small portion of the resolution for the entire year, and less than 8% actually stuck to the resolutions in full throughout the year. So if you're going to make a New Year's resolution, the odds are stacked pretty high against you to be successful in it. So coming into a new year is, and it can be, a great time to resolve to do something on a consistent basis in the coming days, weeks, months, and even years ahead. And exercise, I believe, is a good one. This chapter encourages exercise. In verse 7, refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And that's the reason for the message title, A Resolute Resolution. I don't know why that title came to me, but I looked those words up, and I often think I know what words mean, and then look them up, and I see that I was a little bit off. But in the dictionary, resolute is defined as firmly determined in purpose, resolved, steadfast, staunch, faithful, true, loyal. I thought, wow, that's quite a vocabulary of words for stick-to-itiveness, something like, I guess if that's a word. And the word resolution, then, is defined as the quality of being resolute, firm, and determinate. So I think to make a resolute resolution, I would define as a purpose of heart. Remembering the scripture where that's brought out in Daniel 1:8, where Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. And he requested to the prince of the eunuchs there in that portion of scripture not to defile himself. And Daniel's resolution or purpose of heart was extremely successful. He and his friends were fairer and fatter than those that ate of the king's meat. And so, in light of that, we see a resolute resolution comes with a price tag. And it's the price tag of being firm, committed, no matter the circumstances that we find ourselves in, such as what Daniel found himself in. And so we want to look at this portion of Scripture here in 1 Timothy 4 and pull some things out of it that we might want to resolve or to make a resolute resolution for the coming year and the days ahead, even beyond 2022. Verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Some shall depart from the faith. It's a clear sign of the last days. The Spirit speaketh expressly, it says here. In other words, I think that's saying that it's the Spirit speaking clearly. Clearly. It's a sign of apostasy. And that apostasy is a renunciation or an abandonment of a former loyalty. It's not the fact that someone has not ever accepted Christ, but it's a falling away. To be an apostate is to fall away from truth that once was known and practiced. And have we ever seen that happen in the scope that is happening today? Falling away from the very truths of Scripture, and sadly to say, it's right among us. And we need to be on our guard. Very much so. The Bible says that Satan can pose as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says it's no marvel that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And I think thus they become seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, those who will fearlessly call good evil and evil good. Those who speak false doctrine and are false teachers. 1 Timothy 4:2 here, the second verse says, they speak lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Those that are completely insensible to the truths of the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:5 says that they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And they can look pretty good. But the admonition in that verse is, from such, turn away. And I think we have those types of things before us and all around us in our world today. There is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Things we need to be extremely careful and cautious about. We need to make a resolute resolution, as 2 Timothy 1:13 says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. We need to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, firmly rooted and grounded in the Word of God, so these things don't catch us off guard and take us where we don't want to be taken. The third verse says then that there are those that forbid to marry, commanding and command to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And again, you know, as we look around us, has there ever been a time when there was more living together without making commitments to each other in the bonds of marriage than there is today? With the "in case it doesn't work out" attitude, we might say. How about those that push the vegetarian lifestyle, even to the point that Christians are caught up in it and fall for it? The Bible declares here that there's nothing wrong with eating meat, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving. The next two verses say, "For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer." I guess the vegan lifestyle might sound great to Brian, being a produce farmer, but it's not good news for a beef farmer. So eat roast and steak at least once in a while. You're allowed to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. The Scripture would tell us that here. And over the years, with things that catch our attention, that stick in our minds, that ministers say. And I've always appreciated Brother Robert Yost's comment in the area of eating. He said it's not what you eat, but how much you eat that is harmful. And I thought that's some good advice, some good wisdom. It's very much in line with Scripture. So if you're going to make a resolution to eat less, remember where the Scripture says we're to be temperate in all things, and also that we are to let our moderation be known unto all men. So that phrase is very much in line with Scripture, and I appreciated that. Verse 6 then says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. You know, we're called to preach the words of faith and of good doctrine. That's the responsibility that we've been given. The truth. And the fact is that ever since the days of the early church, whenever the truths of Scripture were proclaimed, and you can read about it in the Acts of the Apostles, where solid truth is proclaimed, error and opposition soon is going to follow. That's disappointing. It's happening in our day, just as well as it did back in that day, the days of the early church. It is disappointing, but it should come as no surprise to us. As we said, Satan can transform himself into the angel of light and twist Scripture and try to twist people's minds into believing things that they ought not. So we need to have a resolute resolution or a purpose of heart. As Titus 1:9 says, we're to hold fast the faithful word as we've been taught, that we may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. The very best antidote for error is sound truth, God's word. Sound truth is only found in God's word. When seducing spirits enter, they twist the Scripture, like we said, and once it's twisted, it's no longer sound truth, but it becomes that of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Verses 8 and 9 then say, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Now, these verses don't necessarily tell us that bodily exercise is of no value at all, but it says it profiteth little. I think it's good to exercise to keep our bodies active and in shape physically. Some of us have treadmills to run on. I think there's one in our basement that probably don't get used hardly at all. And maybe there's some other ones like that. Probably be good yard sale items after a while. But even so, I think it's good to keep our bodies exercised, our earthly temple. But that's no comparison to exercising godliness, which gives us a living hope in this life now and in the life to come, eternal life. In verse 9 there, I believe this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. I think that's telling us that this is something we can count on. In other words, like the saying is, you can take that to the bank. It's something we can count on without any doubt, without any reservation, if we exercise ourselves unto godliness. Verses 10 and 11 end of this chapter say, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. The Apostle Paul's desire, as he's writing here to Timothy, is that no matter what circumstances or the situation is that we find ourselves in, that he wants to spread the gospel of Christ. And he expresses that should be our desire as well, to spread the gospel of Christ at all costs. He wrote in 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. We read here that we should labor, even if we have to suffer for it, trusting in the true and the living God. In verse 12 of 1 Timothy 6, I think I'm right on that. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. In other words, it's going to be somewhat of a struggle at times. We need to fight the good fight of faith. There will be hardships down along the way, in the road. It's not always going to be an easy road. And we're told that here in these scriptures. You know, I had to think, verse 11 there says, these things command and teach. There are many in the world today that would like to promote a health and wealth religion. You know, do right and you'll be healthy and you'll be wealthy. And that's just not scripture. There again, I think we find seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The apostle writes here that we need to fight the good fight of faith. There will be hardships, and these things command and teach. Count the cost. We need to make these things known. You know, none of us here know what 2022 is going to bring before us, but no matter what it brings, we know that our God is faithful, we know that we can trust Him, He is worthy, and that He is the only source of truth, absolute truth. And I think to be faithful in 2022, it's going to take a resolve. It's going to take a purpose of heart to make a resolute resolution to be faithful, to pray, as Brother Brian admonished us in the opening. And I think it's going to take a matter of reading God's Word and praying on a daily basis to be committed to God's Word and to living for Him day by day. The next verse there, verse 12, says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit and faith and in purity. That's a pretty packed verse. And the charge here is to be an example, and especially focuses on young people. And I do think it's for everyone, not just young people. But you know, as young people, and I've been there and made some mistakes, it's hard to take back those mistakes and regain a reputation once you have it as a young person. And I think that's why the charge is for young people. Start young and start strong. And be an example in word. There's six virtues that are emphasized in this verse, and I'd like to take a look at those individually. First of all, we're to be an example of the believers in word. And I think, again, it emphasizes to the young people, but I'm going to emphasize it's for each one of us. Our word is important. Jesus said in Matthew 5:37, let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. We need to resolve in the coming days that we're going to be careful with our speech. When we give our word, we're going to stick to it, no matter what the outcome of that is. Proverbs 12:22 tells us that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. And you know, Jesus said our words will show our true heart. In Matthew 12:34, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. What's inside will come out. And we are to be an example in our words. The second one there is to be an example in conversation. I think that means our conduct, how we conduct ourselves in everyday life. 2 Peter 3:11 says, seeing then that all these things, and it's the things around us, the material things, shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You know, are we living for all we can get today and all we can get materially? Do we conduct ourselves properly before the world around us? You know, the world is watching us with evil eyes. They watch every move we make. And there's certainly nothing wrong with doing business. But we as God's children need to be extremely careful how we treat others and do business with others in the world around us. And then we're to be an example in charity, in love one toward another. The Apostle John writes in 1 John 4:7-8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. We're to be an example in charity, love one toward another, speaking well of each other, defending each other, and certainly defending our Lord. It takes in being kind. Ephesians 4:32 says we're to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That is, just forgiving another person is a kind act. It's an act of kindness. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I don't know where you stand tonight, but when I think of that, what God has forgiven me of, there isn't anything anybody can do that I can't forgive him for what he's done for me. And I think that sums up how we should show his love to others around us. Kindness, forgiveness, meeting needs within the body of Christ. And then we're to be an example of the believers in spirit is the fourth one listed there. Romans 8:1 says, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I think that speaks about our attitudes toward each other in the church, other church members, those who God has called in positions of leadership, our attitude to other members in the body of Christ, our attitude in the home. What kind of spirit do we display in the home? Are we controllers? Is it the my way or the highway type? Are we unkind, unthankful, fault-finding, irritable, unforgiving, and even childish? We're to be patient, speak the truth in love, and show appreciation for each other. And I'd like to challenge us in the days ahead to be defending of each other. You know, love will defend a family member pretty hard sometimes. It's, you know, you've all seen it, I'm sure, where a family member can talk down another family member, but then if you start talking down, you're not family, why, it can get pretty sticky. And they can stick pretty tight to their family. And love can defend a family member. And I think we need to defend each other in the family of God. We're not all perfect. We're never going to all be perfect. But we need to encourage one another in love and with the spirit of love. And just encourage one another to be faithful, because the days are certainly drawing shorter that we're going to be on this earth. Then we are to be examples of faithfulness, living out our faith in front of our families, in front of our neighbors, that they know where we stand as far as our faith in God is concerned, in the community around us at any cost, to be faithful to our married partners and to the church family. Faithfulness to the Lord and his word, I think, will give us a good report. Hebrews 11:1-2 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, in the evidence of things not seen. And then it says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Because of their faith, they obtained a good report. Resolve to be faithful. Verse 6 there in Hebrews 11 says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then we're called to be an example of purity. I think we are to completely avoid any type of sexual impurity before marriage and after marriage. In this day when pornography is so easily accessible, we need to be on constant guard. Each one of us. And I think it's an area that we as men in particular need to be really on guard. And I believe that I can say with some confidence that we have all been tempted in these areas. So we need to be extremely careful what we set before our eyes. You can't handle it on our own. It's going to take the Lord's help. And we need to make a resolute resolution to be pure before God. And to be an example of purity, I don't think just would stop at sexual impurity. But we also need to guard against greed, a filthy lucre, as the scripture warns. Not looking for ways to come out ahead financially every time we make a deal with others, whether it's in the church or in the world. But be honest and upright in our dealings with all men. Then verse 13 says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. And I think that answers the question of how we can be an example in word, conduct, love, spirit, in faith, and in purity. It's by paying attention to the reading of Scripture. Not just reading for the sake of reading, but what is the Spirit trying to say through the Scriptures as we read them day by day, as we give attendance to reading. As we come, sit in the house of the Lord and hear the scriptures read, give attendance to reading. And as we hear the word proclaimed, give attendance to exhortation and to the doctrine, the teachings that are proclaimed. 2 Timothy 2:15, very familiar portion of scripture to us all, but it says there, to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're to pay attention, whether it's one-on-one, as we're talking to another brother or sister, or from a teacher in a class, as we're sitting in a class, or from the preaching of the word. Not necessarily what is the preacher saying to me, but what is the Holy Spirit trying to convey to me, or trying to speak to my heart as we listen, as we give attendance to the word of God being proclaimed. And I challenge each one of us to make a resolute resolution to listen carefully to the Spirit of God as he speaks to each one of us, as we hear the word proclaimed and as we read it, either publicly or privately. This is the living word. It gives life. It gives hope. It gives meaning to life. And it's the only thing that gives meaning to life in a world where life has no meaning to many, many people. Verse 14 says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. You know, each one of us, when we were baptized into the family of God, received the laying on of hands in the baptismal waters. We were prayed for there. We were prayed that the minister that baptized us prayed that we would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I think at that point, each one of us is given a specific gift or maybe multiple gifts to serve the Lord. And I do believe that everyone who truly confesses that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior is gifted in one way or another. And like I said, maybe multiple gifts. But we're not to neglect those gifts. We read here, we're to use those gifts to the honor and glory of God. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And I think it takes effort sometimes. If we put forth the effort and exercise ourselves unto godliness, we will find we can exercise the gifts that God has given to us. And verse 15 says that they will profit to all. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. We need to be sincere and into the word. Meditate upon them. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And if we were to be honest with each one of ourselves, how many times do we really think on those things? Do we think on those things more than we do on negative things? I'd have to hang my head if that was put up on the screen here, what I think. You know, sometimes our minds are drawn away from good things, and we can think some pretty scary thoughts. I don't know how it is with you, but some of the things that come into my mind, I don't know where in the world they come from or how they get there. But we're to think on the things that are honest, just, pure, lovely, things that are of a good report. Think on these things. That's the admonition we're given. We have to make a resolute resolution to think on these things. We're to give ourselves, meditate on these things, it says, and give yourself wholly to them. That's giving our all. The songwriter says we can never prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. And then finally, verse 16 here in this chapter of 1 Timothy 4 says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Take heed to thyself. Doesn't the scripture say we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling? Make a resolute resolution or a purpose of heart to continue in the doctrines of the Holy Scriptures. We move into 2022 and beyond, if the Lord tarries. Not only will we be on the right road to understanding in a better way, we can never fully understand, but we could understand in a better way what our Lord Jesus Christ has sacrificed for each one of us on the cross. but it will also keep us from many unnecessary temptations and trials as we go through our lives. And not only keep us, but it says there, and others also, and them that hear thee. And it'll be a benefit to others also. My prayer is tonight that we will make a resolute resolution, a purpose of heart, to firmly stand on God's word, to study, read, pray more as we go through the days ahead, because I think we're going to need it. And that the Lord will bless each one of us as we lay all on the altar for Him. God bless you.
Let's stand for prayer.